Talking Heads on Planet 93.9, the Quad Cities Real Alternative Radio. It's Dave and Darren in the morning. Thursday morning, Mike Schultz is a movie critic and an editor at the River Cities Reader, and he joins us here live to talk about the movies. Boy, did you have a big one this week.
Yeah, right?
Black
I made some money.
Panther, Wakanda Forever, a huge box office sensation. Second best opening of the year.
That surprised me. I thought it was, what is the other one? Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange.
Okay. I thought it was going to topple that one.
I'll tell you why I'm not surprised.
Okay.
Because I this is my take, at least, on the Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
Mm-hmm.
One, I still haven't gotten around to watching Doctor Strange and Thor. I think I need a break from Marvel movies.
Yeah, don't we all? That would be great.
And two, and I wanted to discuss this with you, this movie, you know, comic book movies are supposed to be an escape.
Mm.
And real world events conspired to make this movie a bit of a bummer, right?
It's a bit of a bummer. I wish it was more of one.
Yeah.
Because that's when it's good, is when they're actually dealing with T'Challa / Chadwick Boseman's passing. Mm-hmm. That stuff is really affecting and good, and they get into some really interesting terrain that Marvel movies don't generally, which is it's kind of like what do we do now?
Right.
You know, it's like we lost this guy who's not only the franchise star, but you know, so important to everybody in the plot. And it's like, does the mother take over? Does the sister take over? Does the warrior guy? That stuff is great. And so when it becomes a normal Marvel movie with a pointy-eared villain from the sea,
I'm
like,
run-of-the-mill,
it's just the same old thing. Exactly right. And it was, and they've got dumb jokes that land when there should not be jokes going on, because it's like, I thought this was all about grief and loss, and now we're making stupid cracks.
Does
you know?
It feel like maybe they had the idea of the Black Panther movie introducing the Submariner?
Yeah.
And they just decided to take that script and then add the more meaningful stuff to it?
Probably is what happened, because I think that whole script was done before Chadwick passed.
Right.
And of course, Chadwick Boseman didn't tell anyone that he was sick,
right.
Including the people who were making a movie about for him. You know? And so I would find it very hard to believe that they started from scratch. But I did write in the review that Ryan Coogler, who's the writer-director, of course, nobody could envy him that gig of having to now refashion your entire franchise based on this. So I think he did his best. I think he tried. It's just that there's no way to blend those two aspects of the movie effectively in a way that's going to work. Somebody's going to be pissed. You know, it's either like me, I wanted more of the drama, or why do we have to talk about his death? You know,
so they attempted to move on, but they probably shouldn't have.
I'm not quite sure what went wrong there. It just turns too much into a Marvel movie, I guess, at the end of the day. And I'm with you. I'm done. Because I didn't like Doctor Strange either. I didn't like the Thor follow-up this year. They've all been disappointing. And I'm wondering if it's less that than just me going, I think you're over it, you know?
And don't get me wrong, I've really enjoyed these Marvel movies.
Yeah,
but
me too.
What is it, like 40 of them now? Like,
Right. I mean, it's like three. It's at least three a year for the last 14 years, 15 years.
After Spider-Man, I thought that was so good.
Yeah.
I don't know that I need to do that again.
at least not for a little while. Because,
right.
Yeah, then we had Eternals last year, which was just the worst, you know? And Oh, man.
Well, and then I also watched the Disney Plus TV show. So, like, I watched Hawkeye and really liked that. I
Loki.
Thought the Falcon and the Winter Soldier was good. I really liked Loki. Like, I just can't. And the problem, too, with Disney Plus, I know I've said this in the past, I've got Doctor Strange and I've got Marvel Love and Thunder, Thor Love and Thunder, waiting for me whenever I want to watch it. And because it's there, I just never
you
watch
don't,
it.
You don't, right.
There's no need. There's no immediacy. It's not like it's only on for a week. You better watch it.
And I think a lot of people thought that, too, about Black Panther. It's like, it'll be on Disney Plus in a month.
Right.
So
that's kind of where I'm at. But it still made a ton of money. Even though.
Sure, but it was, it was going to. But I thought it was going to top 200 for sure. And maybe that's a sign of ennui on behalf of many of us, I think.
So. There was a lot that you liked and a lot that you didn't. Is that fair to say to sum up?
There was some I liked and a lot that I didn't.
Okay.
Let's do that.
All right.
Yeah.
You don't recommend.
Let's go with
you
that mix.
You don't, You don't
I'm trying to figure the 20-80 blend, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
You also saw some more grown-up movies.
I did, yeah.
What's After Sun?
After Sun was amazing. This playing at a film scene in Iowa City. It is the simplest story in the world. It's set in like the late 90s, mid to late 90s. It is a dad who's probably about, who's going to be turning 31 during the vacation, taking his child with him to a Turkish resort for a week. They basically just kind of hang out. They hang by the beach and they play arcade games and they have endure tacky entertainment. But it is filmed in a way where you gradually realize that it's actually set in the present and that the dad died sometime after the vacation. And so you kind of like run into this little girl who was 11 during the vacation, now as a 31-year-old, presumably the age that her dad maybe died. Yeah. And so you start watching the movie for like these hints of what happened to him, because he's pretty complex and he's pretty sad and he's got a pretty tortured history. And so it's all about like this 11-year-old girl kind of vaguely noticing something's not right with dad, but doesn't know how to deal with that because she's 11. And you also like looking for clues in him as to what could have happened. And so it's this really beautiful, sad memory piece, kind of about an older woman trying to come to grips with what she might have known when she was 11.
So
that
she's
she
like,
should have paid attention
so
to.
You're trying to look for the sign. Did he kill himself?
We don't know. Yeah. And they never tell us. But you're aware that it's all about grief. I mean, they like camcord everything. And so she's watching like old footage of her and dad, you know, when they were in the late 90s and stuff. It is so moving. And it has one of the best performances by a kid I've ever seen in my life. Her name's Frankie Corio, and she's about 11. Amazing. And the lead, Paul Mescal, is a tremendous actor. I just loved it. I thought it was great.
All right.
Yeah, it was good.
You also saw something called The Good Nurse.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Have you seen the previews for this thing?
I have not.
Okay. It's Jessica. It's a true story. Jessica Chastain plays a nurse who suspects that her coworker, also a nurse, is a serial killer who is murdering people by injecting insulin into their IV bags without anyone knowing about it. And it's, like I said, it's a true story about this guy who might have killed up to 400 people. Whoa. But the reason he didn't get caught for so long is because the hospitals kind of gradually became aware that this might have been going on. So they just shipped him off to another hospital without telling anybody that, you know, because they didn't want to get sued, clearly. And so he traveled the country killing people as a nurse, you know. So it's got a great, juicy story. And Jessica Chastain is good as always. It's kind of like a well-made HBO movie from 20 years ago. I mean, it's one of those. It's not very, it's not very cinematic.
Raul Julia in The Burning Season.
The Burning Season, right. So it's kind of like that. The only reason I didn't like it is because Eddie Redmayne plays the other nurse, and he is such a hambone. I can't stand him. I really can't. I don't know what it is, but he rubs me the wrong way. And so he's kind of telegraphing his evil with like this, in this way where it's like, just calm down.
Of course I'm evil.
Right, you know, it's just stop. And he has like a big screaming scene in an interrogation room where he just shouts like for a minute and a half. And I was like, I just want to slap him.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm so, yeah,
all people have
over
to do
him.
Is look at me for 2 seconds and they would suspect that I'm injecting.
It's me. I did the
no
murders.
No room for doubt here. No. Eddie Redmayne's bad news. We always know it. So yeah, it's you can sit through it. It's easily watchable, but he's atrocious. Yeah.
So you didn't love the serial killer
I wanted to. I was like, but Eddie Redmayne doesn't do it for me.
You haven't cared for him in other movies.
No. And the one he won the Oscar for, playing Stephen Hawking, is a crummy movie. And the Danish girl, where he was the guy in the 20s who wanted to be a woman,
I
was
don't know
terrible.
That I've ever heard you talk about an actor this way.
Sandler back in the day. But even he, I like more now because he's
doing
more interesting things.
I was going to say, who else is
on
this list?
It's a short list.
Yeah.
I don't dislike many people, but Eddie Redmayne is way up there.
There's just something about this Eddie Redmayne.
He rubs me the wrong way.
You're not crazy about
Kryptonite.
Yeah, and he's also the star of those
Dumbledore movies.
Yeah, the Rowling movies where he's just like this fey, twitchy little elf you want to punch.
Oh, no. All right. Well,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
If you want a good review from Mike Schultz, Hollywood,
don't
quit giving Eddie Redmayne money.
Don't buy him the box set for Christmas.
Wow. He drives me crazy. Yeah. Okay.
Well, obviously, next Thursday's Thanksgiving, so we won't talk to you then, but there are some big movies coming out.
Jeez, we got a bunch. Yeah. This weekend, we've got The Menu with Ralph Fiennes. Looks like a nasty little culinary thriller.
It just looks like another version of The Most Dangerous Game.
Yeah, right? I'm on board. It's okay. Got a good cast. She said the Harvey Weinstein investigative drama about you know, busting the head of Miramax.
Okay.
And what's next week? We've got the cannibal romance, Bones and All. Have you heard about that one?
Mm. Bones and All?
Bones and All. Yeah, that one looks fun. It's Timothée Chalamet and Taylor Russell as cannibals, young cannibals in love.
Marin,
in the 80s.
Marin, a young woman, learns how to survive on the margins of society. Oh,
I think Wikipedia calls it like a coming-of-age cannibal romance road trip movie. I was like, yeah, I'm on board. Bring it on.
You would have to suspect if you're a cannibals, that you're always somewhat tired, because how can you possibly get a good night's sleep?
It's got to be exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always right. Sleeping with one eye open.
I'm looking at Box Office Mojo. This can't be right. There's not another movie about the kids in Thailand who climbed in that cave, is there?
There was 13, another one?
13 Lives?
Oh, no, that came out in August.
Okay, this is saying it's opening wide this weekend.
Oh, it might be for, I don't know, Oscar consideration. It's not very good.
Okay.
It's
Ron I remember Howard. We talked about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And your problem with the movie was you'd already seen this movie.
Exactly right. Okay. Yes, that's the one.
Okay.
What else is happening? Glass Onion, the new Knives Out movie. Can't wait.
Oh,
super
boy.
Excited about
oh,
that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's some good ones on the horizon.
Well, then off cool. You go. Mike Schultz, you can read his reviews in the pages of the River Cities Reader and online at rcreader.com.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, you as well, guys.
Mike, good one. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.